Hey guys, welcome to the Learn Feng Shui podcast, where you'll learn Feng Shui from a classical point of view, taking out the myth and superstition. So if you're interested in learning Feng Shui, Chinese astrology, all things Chinese metaphysics, as well as the superstitions and myths that connect it all, you'll enjoy learning Feng Shui with me. Hey guys, let's get into November's energy update. What does the month of the water pig have in store for you? Bringing in the month of November and the water pig on November 7th through the 22nd is that first Jiechi cycle or the Jie cycle. And that is a 15-day solar cycle of energy depicting a micro season and is called the coming of winter. November 22nd through December 7th is the second Jiechi cycle. It's the Qi cycle and it is called lesser snow. All right, so looking forward into the month of November and the energy that kind of governs it. So I mentioned that it is the month of the water pig, and the water pig is significant in that it is the very last of a cycle. And so if you're familiar with Chinese metaphysics and you do Batsa, if you know the Chinese astrology, you may know the 60 Jiechi. If you don't know what that is, it's basically you have your 12 zodiac signs and then you have your five elements. So we'd look at those five elements, which are metal, water, wood, earth, and fire. So we look at those five elements, but then they are a yin and yang. So we actually have, you know, a variety of 10 different elements. So starting with the wood rat, we start with wood, we start with the rat, you know, the first two in the cycle, and ending in a combination of 60 different zodiac signs, we get the water pig. And so it really is, I think, to me, symbolic. If you're familiar with Chinese metaphysics, a lot of people are familiar with the concept of the time cycles we follow in Chinese metaphysics. And right now it's said that we're governed by what is called period 8 and an earth energy. Well, starting 2024, around the year of the dragon, so we're going into the year of the wood dragon, right? Going into the 2024, it's said to officially begin the time cycle of period 9 and the energy of a fire. And so I really think that November, you know, it's been shifting for a while. I do see that there's this divine feminine energies. We saw things, especially like last month with Britney Spears putting out her biography. You know, a couple years ago, we saw our first female vice president get elected. You know, that was kind of a signal into that shift, right? At least here in the U.S. And then even things like the Barbie movie. So female empowerment, female, you know, just kind of saying like, hey, we're here and we're big, right? We're bigger than anyone thinks we are, right? You know, it's kind of that type of energy. But I really do feel like with November, you know, ending, it really is significant. At least in the symbology of like, hey, we're going into this period of the divine feminine. And this is really, I think, to me, the closing of that earth energy, kind of closing out and really that rise of that divine feminine energy. Looking at the zodiac signs, remember you have four different zodiac signs in your natal chart. So a lot of people are familiar with the year they're born, but they might not be familiar that there's a zodiac sign for the month, day, and even hour that you're born, and they impact you in different ways. If the zodiac sign is in the year, this does represent your friends, group, social circle, and your community. If it's in the month, it represents your career and parental relationships. If it's in the day, this represents your health, romantic relationships, and the way you view yourself, so kind of who you truly are. And if it's in the hour, that does represent your children, thoughts, emotions, feelings. And if you are a boss, this could represent your downline or the people that are underneath you. So what you would do is you just look for where it falls. So if it falls in a year, month, a day, or hour, and that is the area it's going to impact. Remember, if you need to go back and reference, there is a link down below in the show notes, the monthly energy update. I also include a very extensive blog post, so it has even more information than I cover here on the podcast. And I also do a monthly live where I go over the entire blog post minus date selection because that's not really useful. But yeah, so I do that on the Facebook group. Yeah, just do the live. And I'm going to do that November 6th. I usually do it the first Friday of the month, but this month I'll be doing it on the 6th just because I have stuff to do this week. So it won't be happening. All right. But anyway, yeah, go check that blog post out and you can kind of reference anything you need to there. Starting with these zodiac signs that are most impacted by the energy of the pig. So remember, when we're looking at zodiac signs, you may hear this referred to as like secret friends or combinations, you know. So they are different zodiac signs that do combine. Starting off though with the pig, which is considered the Tai Soy or the Grand Duke for the month, we can kind of go to those symbolic stars that we looked at the beginning of the year. And so there is quite a few with the pig here. If you have the zodiac sign of pig, especially in the day you're born here, you can kind of apply this to yourself, okay? So looking at the fortune virtue, it does help with wealth and career opportunity. So you do have that lined up for the month should you decide to focus on career. The heavenly virtue does turn negative into positive energy. And so even though something may be seemingly going wrong, you know, especially if you have a water pig in your zodiac sign, sometimes that means the energy can be stagnant. And so it can actually look like something bad's happening, but that it can actually turn into something positive happening. So no worries, okay? The curled tongue is with you. So the things you need to watch out for is watching gossiping, watching who you're talking to, and what you're saying about other people for the month. And then the robbery shawl, that does speak to lending out money and not co-signing for other people. So this is not a month to do that, okay? Combining with the pig is the goat and the rabbit. So if you have a goat or a rabbit in your zodiac signs, that means you have a combination for the month. They do combine to make the element of wood. So the goat, the potential there is for opportunity or financial gain. Sometimes wealth comes in the form of opportunity. And so I think we need to remember that sometimes. I'd say this time and time again, but I think a lot of people, when they look at feng shui or Chinese astrology and we talk about wealth, it doesn't mean you're gonna be rich, okay? You still have to put effort in and you still have to do the things, the action behind it that make the wealth happen. And so sometimes this does come in the form of opportunity. I notice when I do the wealth activation, so I do little feng shui wealth activations at my house, most of the time it impacts my husband's work. And so I'll notice he'll, you know, maybe get more leads or he'll you know, sell something or something like that. So, you know, his is not a straightforward salary-based income. He works for himself. And so it's sporadic, you know? And so again, when it's like that, you do want it to come sometimes in the form of opportunity. So maybe magic doesn't fall from the sky, you know, things don't happen, but maybe you pick up more clients or you, you know, have some more opportunities to, you know, make some extra money. Maybe you're able to send out, you know, billing information. You're able to bill people this month or something like that. So if you have the goat, that's your potential for the month. If you're born under the zodiac sign of rabbit, that means support for family and friends can be here for the month. Remember, sometimes we do have to ask for that. And so, you know, just make sure that you're not standing alone. You know, if you need something this month and you have the zodiac sign of rabbit, you will have additional support. But just because sometimes it's not readily offered to you doesn't mean it's not there. So don't be afraid to ask. The zodiac sign that's considered a harmony with the pig is the tiger. And again, the tiger and pig do combine to, again, make the element of wood. So it can be a productive month for you, those born under the zodiac sign of the tiger. And make sure you get things done before you rest for the holidays. Then we have our seasonal combination. So the seasonal combinations are the zodiac signs that make up the season of winter. And so, as you kind of know, winter does start in the, you know, not officially in December 20th, the winter solstice, like here we, you know, generally celebrate, but rather the 3 months that contain the element of water, which are pig, rat, and ox, are all the animal signs of winter, okay? They make up the season of winter. And so if you have this, it does combine to make it the element of water. And so again, I think the rat and ox, if you have those, you might feel a little bit more stable this month. It is a good time to try to understand the nuances of a subject. So studying, things like that. So remember that knowing is different than practicing. And so the way, you know, wisdom is different than knowledge. Okay. Just like feng shui, you know, I can talk about feng shui all day, but if I never practice it, then I'm not going to understand what works in what situation, if that makes sense. Okay. So you can have the book smarts, and then you can have the practical application, you know? So, that's kind of, how I can explain that. Or, you know, for another example, again, I used to do hair, right? I was a hairstylist for 100 years. And coming out of beauty school, I knew the technical, you know, way to do hair, but you got to actually practice it to understand what works best. And that's the same type of thing. So if you have the rat and ox, it's a good time to start practicing and putting some of the stuff you've learned into practice, because it really does come from of practicing what you've learned. And those of you experiencing a clash this month are born under the zodiac of the snake. And so the snake and the pig do clash. It does say here, or I've written down in my own words, it says in my blog, the snake and pig sometimes mean that it's almost like you overlooked red flags and then you proceed anyway. And so a lot of, okay, so what we have to understand about these zodiac signs, about our astrology, is that it's not, you know, it's not set in stone. These aren't things that are just occurring, right? These are things that, because we have a certain mindset, born under a certain zodiac signs, the way the energy interacts, the way the elements interact, we feel certain ways, right? It impacts our thinking and our feeling, not necessarily that it impacts, you know, like things happening around us. So, you know, just because this energy is present doesn't mean certain things are going to occur. What happens is that more or less it affects and impacts your emotions, the way you feel, your patterns of behavior. Okay. And so with the snake and pig, it's that kind of clash where it's almost like, you just ignore those red flags. So you see something, you know where it's going to go. You've maybe dealt with it before. You've had that self-sabotaging pattern. A lot of times the pig tends to self-sabotage. I don't know why, but that self-sabotaging behavior, but you overlook it anyway. And you're like, no, it might turn out different this way. And it's not going to turn out different. It's going to be the exact same. And you're going to be back where you started. So remember, we do have free will. We have choice. And our actions, you know, everything comes into play. So if you want to change things, you can, you know, I mean, period. That's really it. But just be cautious this month if you are born under zodiac kind of snake to, you know, not overlook those things we shouldn't be overlooking. And also, if you're born under the fire snake, do make sure you are cautious about your health. I think anytime you see some of those clashing energies, you do have to be careful with your health, especially if it's under the day you're born. So if you're born under fire snake day, just be careful with your health this month and try to stay healthy. If you've overlooked anything, don't overlook it. And if you need to go to the doctor and have anything checked out, don't ignore it, okay? Let's now look at the feng shui and flying stars for November. Starting in the south has a pretty good combination. So we do see this phenomena with a couple of the different palaces here. A seemingly bad star sometimes combines and makes a good combination. And so in the south, we do have the number 3 star, which is generally said to cause like fights. But do remember that it always depends on where, you know, like where it falls. Okay. So the 3 star does combine with the 8-year star, and it forms what's called a HER2 combination, or early heaven combination of flying stars. And this makes the element of wood. So it can be used for expansion, growth, and financial gain. So don't activate the south area, but do work there. You can move your desk there. You can send emails there. If you need to expand, grow in the company, you know, something like that. Use the south area for work, sending emails and doing all that type of stuff. So yeah, south is quite good. Also, number 3 star can be used if you do sports. So if you, or, you know, maybe family member, does some kind of sports, it's a good area to do training in. So if you happen to have a little workout area and it's in the south, that would be quite fine too. But yeah, the so 3-star can actually be used for a sportsman. So if you have anybody that's an avid sportsman, if you have children that play sports and stuff like that, yeah, have them practice in the south. It's supposed to be pretty good. The West is another sector that it's not necessarily great. Can't activate it, but you can use it. So it does have the number 6-star for the year, and combining with that 1-star again makes that HER2 combination. Yeah, pretty good. It can be used to kind of expand career. It can also be used to establish authority. And so if you are a boss, it's a really good area or sector to use for the month. The 1-6 combination is really good for somebody that's in charge of a company, a boss, a manager, or something like that. So you can use the West sector, especially if you feel like you're having problems with your downline. It really is good for, that kind of like establishing authority and establishing that type of respect. So yeah, use that area. You can use it to assign tasks. So yeah, West sector don't activate, but perfectly good to use this month. Here, the North sector. So the North sector does have a 4-9 combination. That 4-star is considered the Academy star, and it is used for academic pursuits. So if you're studying for something, this area can be used to study for the month, focusing, because the 4-9 combination does represent focus. So yeah, you can use that. And this is the sector you can activate with a fan or water or something like that for the month, in addition to using it. So if you need to study for anything or focus, like if you need to have that laser focus for the month, I would go ahead and use the north. All right, so looking at the challenging areas for the month, it's going to be your northeast. So, or if you are Gua 8, you're going to want to be cautious. The flying star number 2, usually called the illness star, is going there for the month. I do believe the effect may be a little bit lessened. However, if you are sleeping in the sector, or if you're the Gua 8, and you've had some health issues, it is a month that you want to go and probably have some things checked out. So just avoid overactivation of the sector. And if you're sleeping there, you can definitely add a little bit of metal to the area to kind of weaken that 2-star. So go ahead and do that. So the southwest is another area that can be a little bit challenging. Probably is the most challenging one for the month. So if you're sleeping here, do be cautious again. The 5-star is going there, 5 instability star. But when it combines with the 1, it's like adding dirt and water, and so it's kind of like adding, making mud. Okay, so it can indicate a health issue, especially if you are sleeping there or if you are a Gua number 2. So you can do the salt jar metal in the sector, especially if you sleep there, as mentioned. So not particularly troublesome, but do be cautious of health issues in the northeast and the southwest, or if you're a Gua 8 or a Gua 2. And the no renovation sectors for the month are going to be the Grand Duke, the Tai Soi, and the Month Breaker, or the Soi Po. And these are going to be in the areas of that are governed by the monthly energy. And so if you look at Northwest, particularly Northwest 3 in your home, you are going to want to avoid digging into renovations there. And directly across from it in the southeast is going to be the area governed by the snake, and again, that's known as the month breaker. And we do avoid renovations and digging and stuff like that for the month. So yeah, just kind of avoid that and you should be okay. For a complete list of yearly shaws and monthly shaws, go ahead and go to that blog post. And again, these renovations, digging, stuff like that, can be done. So if you have a choice, I would use date and time selection. If you don't have a choice, kind of gauge how things feel. So if you have done renovations in these sectors, do remember that that only affects the ground level also. So if you have, if you have to dig into the ground, that, may impact the area. If you don't need to dig and you're just doing some renovations like on an upper level, you don't have to worry about that because it does only affect the earth level. And we look more at flying stars for, second story, third story, stuff like that. So not too big a deal. But yeah, if you're gonna be able to choose, I would definitely choose a date and time to do the renovations. But if you have no choice, try and start on a good day, which are all listed on the website. So they'll kind of denote, you know, good days to do groundbreaking, good for feng shui activation, stuff like that. And usually you get a pretty good result for using date and time selection. And if you really need to plan, just shoot me a message and we could talk about date and time selection for your renovations. All right, guys, let's go ahead and go to our Folklore Friday segment. You may or may not hear the Spotify ad. I'm just kind of unclear sometimes on the sponsorship. So sometimes it will give it to me, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know. I am, however, excited to announce in mid-November, I should have another sponsor coming in. So I'm really excited to be able to announce that and talk to you guys about the next show sponsor. So anyway, you guys stick around. We're going right into Folklore Friday and talking about those micro seasons, those Jesse cycles, what kind of a seasonal shift we can look for, and how to stay healthy. The traditional Chinese lunisolar calendar divides the year into 24 Jiechi solar terms based on seasonal changes and natural phenomena. They play an important role in guiding agricultural activities even to this day, but even city dwellers like us can enjoy them. Each solar term has its own associated customs, traditions, and even recipes. In Solar Terms 101, we delve into what makes each one special. And as mentioned at the start of the episode, the beginning of winter, the first Jiechi cycle, does start around November 7th, 8th, you know, right around that time. The natural phenomena that does mark this time is going to be we start to see water freeze, but not frozen enough where you're able to like ice skate on the lake, but maybe it'll have that little bit of that kind of ice glaze on top where maybe you'll see birds sitting on top of it. So there's that going around, and you'll start seeing across the U.S. there'll be different freezing temperatures, you know. We'll start getting our first freeze around that time. We had it this past weekend. So before the Halloween weekend, we did have a really big cold snap, you know. So we had that going on, and I think you'll probably see that kind of no matter where you're at in the U.S., usually in Texas. When we get weather here kind of up north a little bit, we'll see even like Houston and Corpus Christi will have some cooler weather too. So, you know, we get that, right? So again, the water starts kind of freezing a little bit and the ground starts to get really hard. And I can tell you this. So I am an avid gardener and my pumpkin patch that I had out, I was able to harvest most of my pumpkins, but I had a couple big ones that came in late and I think that they froze. But in the mornings now, when I go outside, there is like cold frost on the ground. It's no longer like wet frost. It is like frozen in the morning. So there's that going on here right now. And so we do see that. And so it is a time where farmers do start to rest. Again, being a gardener myself, it is a time where we're not really able to do a whole lot. There is some stuff still going since I am in a warmer climate, but yeah, pretty much it's time to sit and rest for the rest of the season, which takes us into the next phenomena here, or the next, I guess, tradition it would be. So farmers basically kind of take a little bit of a dormant time. It says here that villagers do hold rites to welcome in winter. And they do pay tribute to their ancestors and the gods for a good harvest and a better harvest in the next year. It does say here too, hardworking farmers also get delicacies and they do celebrate with some booze, which is all fine with me. I do think I overindulge a little bit over the holiday weekend. So it does say here, it doesn't mean you can lay around and sleep until the snow melts. Frequent cold snaps and frostbite are formidable enemies against winter wheat and other produce that are still in the field. So there is still some of those winter crops in there. I did plant some cabbage, so I could tell you that there's that. I know broccoli and stuff is a winter crop also. And so, you know, we still might have that. But if there's a big snow or a big freeze, it could mean losing everything, you know. So, yeah, beginning of winter. Let's see here. And things to eat during this 15-day cycle here. It says that the kidney and urinary tract do become more active in the winter season. And I do think that's because the, those organs there are governed and they are represented by the element of water. And so when we have a water season, that means that that organ that is also tied to that element is going to be more active. You know, and it could be impacted. It does say here it awakens the cardiovascular system. Consuming salty foods seem to make things worse, but bitter foods do seem to ease the situation. And here it does say that for continued health throughout the winter, they usually will do things like, consume essential nutrients. And it does say here that they eat the rhizomes of various herbs and vegetables, which to me, I looked it up and rhizomes are actually like maybe like the tubers or like the roots of the vegetable. So if you have anything like that in your area that is supposed to aid in kidney and joint kind of issues and digestion, which I think I need sometimes. So yeah, sugar cane is usually eaten around this time. Also, it says here that natural candy around this time is said to not result in toothaches. Sounds interesting to me. Also, frequently eaten around this time is dumplings. So that's just, I think, just kind of a traditional thing. And yeah, it does say here that dumplings are believed to resemble ears. And enjoying the dish prevents your ears from frostbite in a harsh northern winter. So a few things you could eat this time of year. So occurring around the 22nd of the month is that second solar term for the month, and it's called lesser snow. And this is a point in the year where our temperatures do start to really drop. You know, it gets pretty cold. We do see maybe some snow. It says here that the air is cold enough to turn precipitation from rain into snow. And so it does seem to be a little bit more of a freezy or wintry mix. Not so much a heavy snow usually, as denoted by the season of name, which is lesser snow. The first thing that usually occurs here, it says the rainbows vanish. And I never thought about this until I kind of read this. But it does say here that the air's remaining moisture is in the process of becoming snow. And it doesn't really reflect and refract the light in the same way as a spring rain, right? So rainbows are a rare sight throughout the year. I never considered that. And it says here, another thing that kind of occurs is that the yin energy sinks and the yang energy rises. And so we have this very yin time of year. I mean, that's really reflected, of course, in our days where the days are very short and the nights are a little bit longer. Here in the U.S., we do daylight savings in parts of the U.S. And so we, you know, change the time and it goes back about an hour, which does bring our sunset and nighttime to be very early in the day. And so it gets dark pretty early this time of year. And another thing that tends to happen, it says here that losing the connection of yin and yang energy to nature is like losing the engine to a car. Everything slows down and it goes silent. And so, yeah, it really is a time that we're supposed to go inward and really kind of reflect inside and just take that time to really slow down and do some, inward reflection. You know, it's a time to go inward. So, yeah, that's kind of reflected in the yin and yang energy and again, those longer night times. And some of the activities that are done around this time, it says here that the weather may prevent the ancient Chinese from doing a lot of outdoor activities during the winter, but preparing and preserving food that lasts long enough to support a family throughout the winter months is something that they would do together. So in the winter, the salt and howling cold dry wind are best for preservatives. And so I guess this is probably a time where they would like dry and salt meat, perhaps. It does say here that they recall their grandmother storing and marinating a curled mustard in huge jars to be pickled. And I think that is also a cooler weather plant, and so probably harvested around this time. Other popular vegetable choices include radish and Chinese cabbage and mustard plants. The proteins are usually like kind of dried type of cured meats. Which sound pretty good. And I know here in the, again in the US, we are getting ready for our holiday season. We celebrate Thanksgiving in November. And so usually from November, December, it really is a time where I do love to cook and prepare food. I like to do batch cooking. And so I'm honestly probably going to do some of that over the next couple of weeks to prepare for what we call tamale season because we make our tamales. And so I'll probably be cooking some pork roasts. And usually I cook all that and I freeze it. So a little bit different than they used to do in ancient China. I don't have to salt and preserve meats in a like a meat house, but I do like to batch cook in large batches and quantities and have that meat prepared. And so I can just pull it out of the freezer and use it as needed. So, that might be something you want to do too, especially to prepare for the holiday season. Different kinds of foods that are eaten during this time. It says sticky rice. And it's usually offered as a tribute to, it says God of Ox. I'm not really sure exactly what that is. Should have done some research ahead of time here. But yeah, so usually the sticky rice, and it does say here that usually a whole pig feast does occur around this time, probably to kind of celebrate, the ending of like a harvest season. So yeah, I feel like we kind of celebrate the same here in the US, and yeah, we're just kind of getting ready to gear up for those holidays. And yeah, just that time of year, right? Time of year to kind of slow down, do some cooking, and celebrate with our families. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode going into this holiday season. We don't have very much more left of this year. It's crazy, it's winding down so quickly. So stay tuned for some new episodes this month. I'm gonna have more new episodes than I had last month. Last month I was trying to repurpose and just kind of get through the month because it was such a busy month. And I mean, this month's gonna be busy too, but I shall have everything, ready to go. Next week I'm gonna have a really unique guest. So you may have heard of things like palm reading, face reading, right? It falls into the category of what's called physiognomy, which is the study of the shape or appearance of something. Okay. So we even have like head reading, right? You can read the bumps on the head. I think that's called like phrenology, right? So this very unique guest has discovered a talent of reading people's boobs. So I just thought it was such an interesting subject. And I wanted to present it in a way that was very serious. I mean, it's a serious thing. And through his boob readings, he's actually able to help women get through a lot of trauma, emotional issues they may have had, and to increase their intimacy levels. Okay, so it's a very important subject, I think. That we don't really talk about a lot. Okay. So, yeah, next week may be the first week that I have an explicit rating on one of my shows just because of the topic, but it's done in a very professional way. He's legit 100%, and I can't wait for you guys to hear what he has to say and how he discovered his talent of boob reading. So, again, next week I will have a guest on. So, yeah, join us for that and sign up for emails if you haven't. Check out that blog post. And follow along for the month so you can kind of plan out your month and reference back to that. Anyway, you guys have an amazing weekend, and I'll catch you next week for boob readings. For a free energy mapping of your floor plan, please check the link in the show notes. To support today's podcast, go to learnfengshui.com, sign up for emails, leave a review, and share with your family and friends.